Hakai Magazine explores science, society, and the environment from a coastal perspective. Today's feature article is, "The Water is Eating the Island." Villagers hang on to the last patch of Sierra Leone's Niangai Island, knowing their home may soon disappear. Written by Tommy Trenchard and narrated by Adam Dubow. Before the sea started taking house-sized bites out of Niangai, the small tropical island off the coast of Sierra Leone hummed with activity. I first visited in 2013 while documenting the construction of a school on a neighboring island. It was a cloudless day in April. A group of teenagers was busy setting up a sound system for a party. Old men chatted and smoked in the shade of palm trees. Children chased each other through the maze of sandy lanes, while a constant traffic of roughly hewn wooden boats plied the surrounding waters. The silhouettes of coconut palms and June plum trees dominated the island's profile, and beneath them stood clusters of neat mud and thatch homes. The beach that ringed the island was so white it hurt the eyes, the water a limpid green. I couldn't stay for long, but Niangai left a deep impression. In December of the following year, I caught another glimpse of the island, this time while flying over it in a United Nations helicopter, delivering emergency supplies to a nearby island at the height of the West African Ebola epidemic. From the air, it looked fragile, its curved, slender form barely 50 meters wide in places. I didn't know it then, but the island I was looking at was a mere stub of what it had once been. Niangai, or Yankai on some maps, is shrinking at an alarming rate, its sandy soil eroded by an increasingly destructive sea. In the span of a human lifetime, the vast majority of its land has disappeared, and most of its population has fled. Those who remain, many of whose families have called Niangai home for generations, are squeezed into an ever-decreasing patch of sand. Within a few years, many fear, the island may disappear altogether. Returning to Niangai in 2023, a decade after my first visit, I found the place almost unrecognizable. From a satellite image, I had seen that the island had been split in half by the sea, leaving two bean-shaped patches of land separated by a wide gulf. But as my boat approached, I could see only one. In the time since Google had last updated its satellite image in 2018, an entire village of several hundred people had vanished. "The water is eating the island," says Towo Koroma, a mother of six who lost her home to flooding in September 2023. "We already fled from the water once, and now we're getting flooded again. The water is following us." Over the past decade, each new storm or flood has prompted more to leave. Some head for the country's ramshackle coastal capital, Freetown, or to other towns on the mainland, while others move to nearby islands. Niangai's leaders say there were once more than 500 homes here. Today, there are fewer than 100. The Turtle Islands archipelago, in which Niangai lies, has always been vulnerable to erosion. Most of the islands rise little more than a meter or two above sea level, and their loose soils are easily shifted by the area's powerful currents. Stretches of shoreline slowly recede or advance, and offshore sandbanks come and go. But the crisis now unfolding on Niangai is on a different scale altogether. Since 2014, the island has shrunk from roughly 700 meters long to just 170. Many blame the increasingly erratic weather and more powerful storms. As one resident puts it, everything's out of place. Life on Niangai has never been easy. The island lacks roads, piped water, and electricity. Living conditions are basic, but it's only with deep reluctance that many finally leave. The island is peaceful, its community tight-knit. It's free of snakes and has virtually no malaria. The fishing, on which virtually everyone relies, is better than elsewhere. During times of upheaval, from Sierra Leone's civil war in the 1990s to the Ebola outbreak of 2014, the island has offered a level of sanctuary. For most, it is the only home they have ever known. Niangai is not alone in its existential battle with the ocean, with similar scenes unfolding along much of Sierra Leone's coastline. In the village of Laka, near Freetown, two-story concrete houses are being washed away piecemeal by the ocean. On Plantain Island, some 30 kilometers to the north of Niangai, farmers have seen their agricultural land either contaminated with salt water or swept away altogether. And in the north of the country, residents of the bustling trading town on Yelabuya Island have found themselves forced to retreat ever farther inland to escape the encroaching sea. It's becoming very alarming, says Temba Emmanuel Nyaka, the deputy director of the Climate Change Secretariat in Sierra Leone's Environment Protection Agency, who recently visited some of the worst affected areas. "We realize that the problem is getting worse. People showed us where they used to live, where their cemetery was, their fields, houses, and now it's just seawater. They're constantly having to move." Government officials say natural processes are being exacerbated by a series of factors, including changing weather patterns, rising sea levels, the felling of mangrove forests, and in more urban areas, the mining of beach sand for construction. In 2021, the government released a new national adaptation policy to address the impacts of climate change, but it's hamstrung by both a lack of data. The country's first marine meteorological station has been operating for only 2 years, and a lack of resources. The government has implemented mangrove restoration projects in some areas, but with limited success. As for Niangai, an official confirmed there are no plans to build any sea defenses. Almost everyone still on Niangai has lost at least one home in recent years, and some, like 35-year-old Gaia Bang, have lost as many as four. "We've spent so much money building new houses," she says. "So much uncertainty over the island's future, most people now rebuild with only basic materials, squares of sackcloth over a grid of sticks for walls, old metal sheets, often riddled with holes for roofs. Gone are the neat, mud-walled cottages I had seen on my first visit. Gone, too, is the island's freshwater supply. The well water is now so brackish it can be used only for washing. In the rainy season, islanders collect rainwater in buckets. In the dry season, they must take an hour-and-a-half round trip by boat to collect water from neighboring islands. The atmosphere, too, has changed. Children still entertain themselves, devising games in the tree graveyards that ring parts of the island. But the electric energy of a busy fishing village has given way to a sense of lethargy. The island's chief laments that the parties and cultural dances that used to be common have faded away. "These days," he says, "the sound system comes out just once or twice a year to mark the rare visits by campaigning politicians." "We've been telling the government that we need help," says Hassan Kargbo, the island's harbor master, "but so far we've seen nothing." Seeing little prospect of outside intervention, the islanders attempted to stem the erosion by planting mangroves, but few of the seedlings survived for long. When the island floods during the highest tides, some build levees of sand around their homes, bolstered with sheets of tarpaulin, lengths of timber, car tires, or any other sturdy objects they find lying around. Beyond that, there's little they can do but wait for the tide to go down. "We love our island," says Kargbo, who has already started looking for a piece of land on the mainland to start a new life with his wife and six children. "But it's going to disappear." Find more coastal news and stories from Hakai Magazine on our website at www.hakaimagazine.com. All of our feature stories are part of the Hakai Magazine Audio Edition podcast, which you can subscribe to through your favorite podcast app. If you've enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with your friends, and don't forget to like, comment, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.